Ms. Clark.
What a blessing. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on Mother's Day, and I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17 in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet here in the chapter is Elijah, and much could be said for him. And Ahab thought he was the one that troubled Israel, but it was Ahab. If you were to look back in chapter 16 and verse 30 there, you'd find that Ahab is stated, you know, there's different statements that are made of different kings throughout the scripture and how some serve God with themselves, and Ahab doesn't get that kind of praise. He's the worst. If there was a worst, the Bible says the worst king of Israel who did more abominations than anybody else, it was Ahab above his father. And Bible just calls it like it sees it when the things like that. And you know, for all of us, and on Mother's Day, I thought, man, I mean, we're going to be in chapter 17 and look at a good mother, but I thought, what kind of mom did Ahab have? And I know his daddy did wrong, and his daddy taught him how to do wrong, but I thought, man, you know, for a young man that went out and did all those things, and I thought to myself, I wonder, in the contrast of this, you know, maybe he had a mom that tried to teach him right. Maybe he had a mom that did everything right and took him to church and did all the things, and then he decided to go out and follow his dad's example and do those wrong things. And I just thought, man, you know, on a Mother's Day like this and looking at a crowd, I'm just thankful as a man who can say I had a mom who took me to church. And I had a mom who, I mean, I really don't remember a time that we didn't go to church. I don't remember a time that my mom didn't care about the things of God. I don't remember a time that my grandparents didn't love me and care about the things of God and invest in my life. And so thank you. If you're somebody here today and you love God and you love your family, you take them to church, man, keep doing it. You're never going to be sorry. There's not a headstone in the graveyard that says mom is sorry that she took her kids to church. There's not a gravestone over there that says, I'm sorry that I invested in my children and taught them the Bible. Not one. In chapter 17, we find a lady who, if anybody had an excuse to lay down and fall out and to give up, it was this widow of Zarephath. We don't find her name. We just know that she's a widow. And we're talking about mothers here, but she's a mother. And she's trying to raise her son by herself. We're not given in the scripture the context of what happened to her husband. We do know that later on when her son dies, she looks back and she tells the prophet that, are you trying to bring my sins to remembrance? And listen, I know there's so many mothers here and you care for them. And even though I can just say today, I know not that my mother was not perfect. In my eyes, she was as a child. Amen. But I can tell that, you know, we're all sinners. Even Jesus' mother was a sinner. You know, today there'll be people that lift up Mary as a sinless person that they pray to, and even though she needed Jesus to save her just as much as you or me, she was a very virtuous woman that God chose to bring his son into this world, but she needed Jesus to forgive her of her sins as well. And here this lady is somebody who, and I'll just say this, she's a mother of faith. If there was a goal and a message that I could preach and just to try to get you to take it home, if you have been a mother of faith, continue to be that. Your children and your grandchildren need to see you faithful until Jesus calls us home. If you're a mama today and your mama was faithful, or maybe she wasn't, but you can be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Be a mother of faith. In verse number 9, we'll begin reading in verse 8, but 9 is where it begins to tell him to get to Zarephath. But just this morning, if I could just say this, thank you again. Thank you for being a mother of faith, every one of you. And again, I want to say thank you to my mom, but I want to pray for us. As a church, it's a blessing to see all the mothers and the daddies in this place. And again, the focus, that's God's plan, is to have his church made, his family, God's family, ought to be made up of strong families that love the Lord and live for him. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for being able to be in this place, God, and to be able to open your word and to know its truth and to be able to preach the things that, God, you've penned down that happened so long ago, God, but they're truth, and they can help us today, Lord, to just continue faithful to you as others were faithful, God. I pray you'd help us today. If there's those here that do not know Christ, I pray today that they would get saved and receive Jesus as their Savior. If there are those that need to come home and just get close to you and repent of maybe something that's going on in their lives, that today would be that day. But Lord, more than anything, I pray that you'd encourage our mothers to continue faithful until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," this is unto Elijah, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You see that word? To sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, and behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, I don't know if you've seen this here, but I'm just going to tell you that if you've heard this story before, it continues on. And I'm just going to tell you that, I mean, they're in a desperate position and a desperate place. This widow of Zarephath is a mother who has a son. They don't have much left. It's been some time now that it has not rained. And just before in the chapter, if you were to read that God told Elijah to go to Ahab and tell him it wasn't going to rain. Guess what? Crops don't grow when there aren't any rain. They do, and even if they do sprout, they don't produce. And we ain't had a whole lot of rain, but thankfully somebody stopped me and told me they were praying for rain. I don't know if you got any at your house, but na-na-da-boo-boo, I got some at my house the other night. Amen. And I'm praying for you, and I'd like for all of us to get rain. But amen. Listen, we ought to be praying for that God do in his will. But I'm just telling you, they prayed for rain, but God had shut up heaven because there was an evil king. I thought, man, all the things that are going on in our country, people confused about their gender and all the craziness in this world. I wonder if what would happen in America if God shut up the heavens and just said, I'm tired of fighting against you. You're a place that I put my word in. And in your constitution, you know what my laws are, and you know how good a God I could be to you, but you decide to go the opposite direction. Listen, it wouldn't be the first time that a nation didn't get rain because they went the opposite way and thumbed their nose at God. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, I don't know if you were thankful. Listen, I still walked out that morning, and I could see a little tiny remnants on the car of a heavy dew, but still everything was crunch, crunch under my feet. And I thought, listen, I realize I grew up on a farm, and everything depends on that rain. And listen, you know why the meal barrel was empty? It's because the corn that was left got expensive. You want to know how Egypt took over their whole land and made slaves of every person in the land? They did it with food because it was a famine. Listen, you know, people will sell their soul for the last little bit of food to eat. Now, we're the richest nation on the world. You say, well, no, we're not the richest nation. Listen, I'm telling you, there may be somebody that's got a couple more crypto, gold bars, or everything else. But if you go to a place that you can find where you have more bountiful harvest than we do in the Midwest and in our fields, cattle in the field, there's no other place on earth like this place. Just because our GDP isn't as high as it once was, or there's some other place that's running computers better than we are, there's no place that grows food like we grow food. We have been blessed of God. And if you really think that we're not that interdependent upon food and the processing of food, you just let it not rain for a little while. For the space of about 3 years. And see what our GDP would look like. And what our nation would look like. Folks, we need to teach our children again that food don't come from the grocery store. It comes from the field and the farm like it always has before they stick it in a can and put it on the shelf. Mom, we'd be good to teach our kids. There may come a day they need it. Teach them again how to take a plant and stick it in the ground. And to water it every day and to watch it come up. And then actually let them pluck the fruit of their labor off the vine and take it in the house. Hey, I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age where a lot of times we just have it so good we don't even have to grow it anymore. We got it so good we just go looking and we just take it off the shelf and we don't thank God. Listen, we don't thank God. We thank God when we sit down to pray over it. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of times if some of you ladies that stood, you remember a time that if the garden in the backyard didn't go good, there wouldn't be anything to eat. There wouldn't be anything to can to put up for the winter. I'm just telling you, we live in a country of plenty and we are unthankful people. And on a day where we're thankful for mom, a lot of times, you know why people were thankful for mom? Because listen, their greatest memories of home is when mom rang the dinner bell and they pulled up to the table. And listen, for most of us, we measure everything that we eat off of our mama and what she made for us. Everything that passes across the table, even our nose and our smells, they all are remembrances and things that draw us back to home and to mom and what she did for us. And I thought, man, what a time. Here this woman, the Bible says that God said, you go over there, told the prophet. Now this is something I want all of you to take home with you, because I know this to be true in my own life. Before God even told the prophet what he was going to do, he had already told mama. Because mama was walking with God. And he said, you go on down there and she's going to take care of you. She's going to mother you like she mothers her son. You go down there and I've already told her. Listen, when he walked through the gate, many of you thought, listen, we live in a day and age, boy, talk about a male chauvinist. The prophet shows up and he says, get me some water, woman. And she went after the water. And halfway over there, he says, hey, while you're doing that, make me a cake too. Now, it was more like a pancake. But she doesn't break stride. Do you know, it wasn't until he said something. She was after the water because God had already commanded her to take care of the prophet. She really didn't know what man of God. Listen, this is before. Most of us know who Elijah is because we've read all about him and how he stood and called down fire from heaven. This is before Elijah was Elijah. This is before everybody else thought he was the big man. This is before everybody else, before he called down fire and then cut off a bunch of heads. And then everybody was scared to death of who Elijah was when he showed up. But he walked in the gate and said, get me some water. And she went after it because God had already told her to. Do you know, sometimes there's things that we could do and things we wouldn't even buckle at. If we knew it was God's will, it doesn't matter how people ask us to do it. We just get it done. Because it was what God asked of us. God had already told us to do it. Hey, he goes on here, and I want you to see. Look in verse. Now he knows. She said, oh, I'm gathering these sticks so I could go take the little tiny bit of meal. I'm not making great big pancakes like they serve over here at Cracker Barrel. She's like, I'm going to make two little tiny cakes. And my son and I are going to have dinner and then we're going to die because that's all we got. And there ain't nowhere to get nothing from. There ain't no money to buy it. You know, we often talk about the widow's mite. But even think about this. The widow may have given her last mite, but the cupboard might have been full at home. This widow here in the Old Testament, she ain't got a mite to go get any more cake. And she's got a little tiny bit of meal and a little bit of oil to mix it up and to make a cake out of it. And then the man of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you. Look at what he says in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, I'm just telling you, she don't know Elijah. She knows that God told her to make it. And I'm just going to tell you, preacher, I was sitting here thinking about this. Listen, she just told him, all I got left is a tiny little bit in the barrel. But Elijah's believing God. And God said, you go to that woman. Now, he could have gone to a woman with a full barrel, but God sent him to that woman. Not just because he needed to be sustained, but because she needed to see God work in her own home. She needed to be sustained. OK, Can I just tell you this morning? Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I could have done this. Elijah believed God, though. He asked of this woman, he says, listen, I know you only got a tiny little bit left for you and your son, but you make my cake first. That would make a television preacher blush. Ask for your, not just your last dime, but your last little bit of meal in the barrel. And God said, this is how it's supposed to be done. And Elijah, listen, you know what? I guarantee you, Elijah swallowed real hard before he said it. He swallowed real hard and believed God. And you know what she did? She was a mother of faith. She went back to the house and made the man of God a cake first. And then she made one for herself, and she made one for her son. But those weren't the last cakes that she made out of that barrel. Because she had had faith and believed God, the barrel kept giving and the oil kept running. Look on at the scripture with me. I want you to see this morning. He goes on and says in verse 14, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the home, fell sick. And his sickness was, look, it was so sore left in him. Now, we don't know what kind of sickness he had, but listen, when you can't breathe, you don't live. Most of us, listen, we realize when they measure, when you stop breathing, they try to get that going because you ain't going to live long without oxygen. And she immediately, listen, he goes to stop breathing and she takes him in verse 18 and it says, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? She puts this on the man of God being in the house. Verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him, look, he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft and where he abode and laid him upon the bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art the man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Listen, I don't know about you, but it's probably been a few days. This isn't the second day that Elijah lived there. And the Bible says that it said many days and it was going to continue till it rained. All right. That the cruse of oil every day. Don't you think that would have been a miracle? Would you have believed that that was the man of God, that every day the last scoop wasn't the last scoop, that every day the last scoop was back in there to make one more cake? And that every day that little tiny bit of oil that was in the cruse was there on a daily basis. Listen, that's faith. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure I would have gone back and looked for any more meal in the barrel. I scooped the last bit the last time. But she kept going back and looking because God had made a promise through his man. And every day it was there. But she said, I didn't even know you were really the man of God. I didn't even consider you, I could tell everything you said was truth until this point right now. Now I want you to see some things. And at number one, I want you to see this. A mother of faith will trust God to provide just the needs of her family. A mother of faith they'll trust God. You see how she trusted God? God spoke to her and said, I've sent a man to you. And now, listen, he's going to sustain thee. Listen, you know what sustenance is? It's more than food. Most of us, we lock into our mom, and we just think about what she makes. My children, every one of them, for their birthday, they don't, you know, none of them say, take me to McDonald's. Maybe when they were little. But now that they're grown, they want mama to cook a home-cooked meal. And they want her to cook the thing that she cooks that they think is the bestest thing on planet Earth. And she will usually do that. And usually it's something that's fried. Amen. Amen. And it might involve chicken. Woo! I felt something right there. Right? Hey, I'm just going to tell you, if we're not careful, listen, we forget, but that ain't all mom's good for. You know, on Mother's Day, we don't just think, I mean, we think and we usually connect mama with whatever kind of cooking that she had. But listen, I'm going to tell you, this sustenance that took care, she sustained him. It says in the scripture, she gave him a place to live. She didn't have to go looking for the prophet to bring him his cake because he stayed in the house. Do you think Elijah was washing the sheets? I don't think so. You think Elijah was washing the clothes and all the pots and pans? No. Mama was taking care of all that. She was taking care of home and taking care of the man of God along with her family. I'm just going to tell you, I think a mother of faith is somebody that not only provides for for the needs of the family. Listen, she looks to God to provide for that. She didn't have the means to provide for her family. She didn't have that. I mean, sometimes I think in America, we get so used to taking care of ourselves or thinking our bank account's taking care of us, we forgot what faith is really about. And whether you know it or not, this scripture goes through some things and balances it out, because one of our primary needs, and when we really think we're absolutely broke, is when we ain't got no food in the cupboard. But God supplied, didn't he? Well, what about this all this time? Just eating a little cake, everybody just eating a little cake. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I like more than just bread. I'm glad she's making it's probably like a cornbread cake, but I don't know how much energy you're getting from that. Every once in a while, I like a piece of meat with stuff. Amen. I'm not prejudiced against just chicken. I mean, I'll eat beef. I'll eat a steak. Right? I even eat a good piece of bacon every once in a while. Pork chop. Amen. I know all of you. You may turn your nose up at the pork, but the bacon is good. I didn't say it was good for you. Amen. I like chicken and beef wrapped in bacon. Amen. Now, all of you are thinking, preacher, you're making me hungry. I know. I'm going to try to get you to the restaurant today. But I just want you to get this. A mother of faith will provide for this, and she'll trust God to provide for the meal. You know, sometimes a mother, you try to take care of all the needs, but you know who you're trusting in? A lot of times the family is looking to mama, but guess who mama ought to be looking to? A woman of faith is looking to God provide for those things. Second of all, I want you to see this. A mother of faith trusting God to provide, look, all the needs of others. Do you know, it was my grandmother, I when I surrendered to preach, it was my grandmother that said I knew it all along. I've been praying for that. I knew that. She knew the will of God for my life. Mamas sometimes hear from God long before the children ever know what they're supposed to do. Long before they ever know what they've done. Listen, sometimes when you were little and God was speaking to you and you would say things, my mama will tell me about the time that I set everything up. I had a box set up and I climbed up in the chair and I went to preaching when I was a boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, I forgot all about that, but mama remembered. Grandma remembered. I didn't think about that was what I was going to do with the rest of my life, but when I was young and I was listening and I heard from God, God knew what he was going to do with me all along. I know some of you may have done some things, and again, you know, some of you mechanics out there, your mama remembers you taking everything that you ever had apart. Amen? And then when you got a little older, you figured out how to put some of it together when you could find what was left of it. Amen? Hey, I'm just telling you, all of us, God not only provides for that, but she trusts God to provide for all the others. This widow not only trusted her God to provide for her, but for her son and for Elijah, and it says all of her house. The Bible doesn't give us all the details of anybody else that lived there, but it sounds like, listen, if you had a mama like I had, everybody was over at my house. I didn't spend a lot of time at everybody else's house. Everybody wanted to be at my house. They wanted to eat my mama's cooking. They wanted to sleep under my mama's roof. They wanted my mama to love on them and mother them like she mothered me. Everybody wanted my mama to be their mama. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, if you got a mother like that, a mother of faith, you ought to be thankful today. Because that mama she's a mother of faith, and she trusts God not only to provide for you, but to provide for everybody else that God brings into her. Listen, all the children of God. Do you know that there are kids here on our property today? And I know for time's sake, I just want to say this. Listen, there are people that come here that ride our buses, that come here so that ladies in our church can mother them and love on them, because they don't get that anywhere else. There are babies in the nursery today that while mama's getting preached to, there's another lady in there just thankful that she gets to mother them for just a few minutes and love on them and care for them the way you do. Listen, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for God's people. And that in a place like this, listen, my mama mothered me, but I'm telling you, with God's people, I've been a lot of places. There's times that I've gone on mission trips and other places. I remember going one time to a boy's home, and my dad left me there to work with a man for about a month in that boy's home. And he said, leave him here, Rex. I'll put him to work for a month. And I stayed there for a month of the summer, and I lived with all them boys in the boy's home. I was so glad to see my mother when I got home. But they worked me, I'm telling you, and I enjoyed it. But I'm just going to tell you, you know, for all of us, we don't know how good we got it until mom's not there anymore. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, mothers, listen, I'm telling you, God provides for those mothers of faith who trust in him to not only just provide for their needs, but all the needs of the house, everybody in the house. Thirdly, I'll say this, a mother of faith, trust God at the point of death. Do you know, I mean, I've only had one child and I preached about it before and I won't belabor it, but had really one child that I really worried about was hanging between death and life in the hospital. And many of you, some of you, I'm telling you, you've had such a different experience than I ever had. Some of you have actually lost a child. And I'm just going to tell you, every bit of that, a mother of faith is trusting God with the souls of their children. Praying that their soul will be saved. Praying that their soul is one that will be yielded to the things of God. Praying for their soul. Listen, I cannot, as a father, I know the burdens, but I don't know what mama carries. I can tell you, watch mama burdened for the things of kids. Because listen, I told you before, I think God speaks to mama first. Sometimes mom knows things before the child knows them. Sometimes mom knows before daddy knows them. Sometimes God knows before the prophet knows them. And she's burdened and worried and praying that God will supply the needs, call and minister and talk from heaven to the child. Listen, I'm going to tell you, hear this, mama, it's a sickness. It's not just, listen, the soul, it wasn't sick. The body was sick. You know, when I hurt myself, none of my kids ever ran for daddy. When they fell down and busted their elbow, you know who they wanted to kiss it? Mama. Do you know who they wanted to bandage it? Mama. Because dad say, rub some dirt in it and get on with it. Amen. Mama would hold it, and then she'd put medicine on it, and then she'd blow on it so it wouldn't hurt. I'm like, it's supposed to sting. That means it's doing something, bless God, right? That's a manly way of doing it. Mama will blow on it. Mama will fan it. Mama will say, let's put some ice on it. Mom has a soft heart and a caring heart. What would we do without mama? I think to myself, listen, this woman, she's there, and she doesn't think of natural things. You know what mama always does? Listen, I'm going to tell you, we live in a terrible world where a lot of kids blame mom for everything. But mama took the responsibility. Her son, fleshly speaking, is sick and has died, no breath in him. And she thinks, it's my sins that have brought this on my son. Right. Right. This is my wrongdoing. This is something God is judging me because I'm the one that stands in the gap. See, daddy wasn't in the picture anymore. We don't know what happened to him, but mom is trying to raise this kid by herself. And she goes to the man of God and said, why did you come in the house just to bring my sins back on myself? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, can you imagine how that broke the man of God's heart? I'm going to tell you, as the preacher, sometimes it breaks my heart when I hear somebody think that God is, I've said this last time I was with you, God is not in the sky with a great big hammer just wanting to mash you. God loves you and cares for you and wants to heal and to help. And listen, yes, sometimes our sins, she was thinking right. Sometimes our sin does bring things back on us. Sometimes sin does cost us some things. But listen, I'm going to tell you, a woman of faith, even when she realizes it may be sin or something that brought this to pass, you better go to God. Because we have a God who is full of mercy and care and love. And listen, she takes him to the man of God, and she's not getting bitter with him. She's just saying, did you do this to call remembrance? One of the last things I had left in this life was this boy. He was going to carry on our family. He was going to carry on our inheritance in Israel. And she held him out, and Elijah, he realized the most precious thing in all the world to that mother was that boy. And he took him. And listen, as a man of God, he didn't give up until God answered. He goes up into that room and lays that boy on the bed, and he stretches himself over and over and over again on the child and begs God. When he finally realized, listen, folks, this is where it ought to really come to truth of you. This boy's soul had left his body. And Elijah begs God to put his soul back in. Can I tell you that the only person that has power over the soul is God? Elijah didn't do anything but ask God to put that soul back in that body. And heaven answered, and the boy revived because his soul came back into his body. And he took him back down. He said, hey, mama, look what your faith has done. Look what your faith in God has done. Can I just tell you this? A mother who knew the man of God, who took care of the man of God, who knew God, you know who she was trusting in for eternity? The Messiah. She was trusting in the one that would come and that would take away the sins of the world. You know, she didn't know who his name was. She's just looking forward to the Messiah that would come. She knew that it was going to come to the tribe of Judah. She knew that he was going to come and one day be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And she was trusting in faith in the future. But you and I can look back and realize that the Messiah did come. That the one who came, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came. And listen, you know, he had a great mom. And I thought to myself, if there ever was a picture, somebody for a great Mother's Day, our Savior, while he was just, in the middle of winning, buying us back into himself. He was hanging between heaven and earth on the cross. Buying your freedom from sin and my freedom with his own blood. Before he took his last breath, he said, Mama, this is your son. Son, this is your mama. He wanted his mama taken care of. One of Jesus's last acts on earth was to take care of mom because mom had taken care of him. Listen, folks, I don't know where you're at today, but I can tell you this. That mama looked all the way through the future and she saw Jesus. You know, we're all gathered here today because of what Jesus has done. Do you know we could work hard and we could have a good family, but mothers of faith changed the world. My mother of faith changed my world, kept me in a good church, kept me in a Christian school, sacrificed to make sure that happened. Amen. That I might be able to stand before you today and tell you the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Do you know, listen, my mama today has an investment in what's being preached today. Many of you sit here today, and if it wasn't for a good mama of faith, you wouldn't know where you'd be spending eternity today. But listen, if you're here, and maybe your mom's not here, but you don't know where you're spending eternity, mama, if you're here and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, can you be just like this widow and have faith in Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It just takes a small amount of faith. Do you know, I believe she had a small amount of faith in God and the prophet when he said, make me a cake. And she went and made him a cake, but it wasn't until her son was raised from the dead that she said, of a truth, you're a man of God. Listen this morning, as the man of God in this place, if you just have a little bit of faith today and you say, I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity, if you would just call, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I promise you, if you'll call upon his name today, he'll come into your heart and your life and he'll save you, forgive you of your sins. And after that, if you do that little bit, listen, she stepped out by faith, didn't she? and made that cake. And then she really found out what God could do when she stepped out. If you would step out in faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, once you accept Him as your Savior, you'll really find out. You'll say, of a truth. Listen, there are people that have accepted Christ in this place between listening to Pastor Carter and other men preach just like myself. And after they accept Him as their Savior, listen, that was just the beginning of what God could do in their lives. It was just like a first cake. Amen. There's nothing like trusting in God and not only having a cake, but eating it too. Living the Christian life is so much better than just having Christ in your life. Today, I implore you, if you're here and you're living the Christian life, there's nothing like having your cake and eating it too, isn't it? Keep on living for God. Keep on being a mother of faith. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I beg you today, accept Christ as your Savior. It's the best life you could ever live. I'm not saying that just because my mama said that. I'm saying that this morning because I've lived it. I'm saying that because I did accept Him. And I'm trusting in Him today. If you're here today and you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, let me ask you this. What are you trusting in? What? Your good works? Your good works aren't going to get you to heaven. You're trusting in baptism? Baptism's not going to get you to heaven. The Bible says that it's not of works of righteousness that I've done. It says that there are filthy rags. The Bible says in the New Testament, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not in your work. It's in the work of Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place today trusting in your good works or in your good family name. You trust in the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, and you will be saved. You'll have a home in heaven. All the blessings and inheritance of a holy God if you trust in the name of Jesus. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, today we preach mainly to mothers. But God will save anybody that'll call on the name of the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you today to trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and maybe you've gotten away from Him and you got out of church and you want to come back to God, why don't you step out and just do business with Him? Come to the altar and talk to God and say, God, I want to come home. I want to stay and trust You. I want to be close to You today. Maybe you're just here and you want to just give thanks for your mama. Come tell God thank you for what you did. Give me a good mama. As we stand to our feet, if God spoke to you and you need to be saved, would you meet me here in the front? We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're here this morning and you just need to do business with God, the altar is open. You can come and talk to God. As Brother Bert sings, you come and do what God's asking you to do.